Welcome to the May 7th, 2025 committee meeting of Law Enforcement and Public Safety. Just a reminder to please use your microphones when speaking. I'd like to call the meeting to order and a roll call, please.
Chair Hansett.
Present.
Deputy Chair Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Levine.
Here.
Legislator Maloney and Legislator McCullough and Legislator Walz.
Here.
Here.
Okay, can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can I get approval of the April 2nd, 2025 regular meeting minutes? Any discussion or questions?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. We only have a couple updates today, and we're actually going to start with the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, and then we're going to go to Emergency Management, and then they have a brief presentation. So, Sheriff Figueroa?
Good afternoon, everyone. The officer dining room is up and operational. I want to thank everyone that was involved in that project. Really has made a tremendous difference for the members that work at the Ulster County Jail. This week is Correction Officers Week, and for the recognition of the hardest work in law enforcement, and we did put something on social media. We're also doing our in-service training, and we've upgraded live scan through the state and the local police departments. And we're still moving forward with the addition of the City of Kingston Police Department to our records management system. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just a quick update on the department and this past month. The call volume within the 911 center was 8,697 calls, of which 5,130 were 911 calls. That's an average of 289 calls a day. We did just roll out yesterday, actually, the Intellicom software for emergency medical dispatch, which is going to help us in trying to better manage the crisis of EMS. The program, as discussed at the end of, mid last year, is for emergency medical dispatch. So the dispatcher, when they take the call, they ask specific questions and are able to give aid over the phone. We've been doing EMD since the early 90s, mid 90s, but this is just a big software upgrade. Additionally, we have a few new dispatchers that have been in training for a few months now. They're progressing well. The Division of Fire Service has had coordinated operations at 45 incidents, and our fire investigation unit has investigated 10 fires last month. And we also participated in a high school career day in the town of Floyd Highland School District. And for the presentation, did you want that to go now?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I would like to introduce our Deputy Director of Emergency Medical Services, Rich Miller, as well as our Assistant EMS Coordinator, Michael Beninati. Rich Miller specifically is going to be speaking on the EMS plan that we put forward.
How's it now? Okay. Thank you for affording us the opportunity to go over the plan. We will be brief. I was told to be brief, but we will hit all the salient parts of the plan as we go through. As you can see, we're calling it an oversight and coordination approach to EMS in Ulster County. The first step that we took throughout the coordination of this plan was to acknowledge the fact that we have a very robust EMS culture within the county. It's not a matter of willingness, it's just a matter of coordination that has been lacking and also funding. Overall, the practitioners in EMS have fled the industry post-COVID. We lost, I think, close to 7,500 practitioners in the year since, and they haven't been replaced. But the framework in Ulster County is comprised of those who remain, they're dedicated, they're involved practitioners, and they are committed to our community. Many of them are residents of the community themselves. The financial reality of the situation that's facing us right now is it's just not sustainable. Without funding to address the cost of readiness, the needs of an EMS system, our failing system will eventually collapse. And we are pretty close. There's, you know, a lot of agencies that are struggling out there right now. The agencies themselves cannot provide the service on a fee-for-service model, which has traditionally existed primarily in the commercial sector, as the volume of calls is not sufficient and the payer mix is not conducive to covering the expense, not only of doing the calls, but that cost of readiness. And it would require additional funding from the communities anyway. The geographical areas in which the gaps are occurring are not contiguous, okay? Meaning they're not strung out in a nice clean line so that you could say, oh, I'll just put one ambulance there in the middle and everything is gonna be okay. They occur at varying parts of the county, and this county has a lot of geography that is just not conducive to it. But in order for us to do that and to contract with, you know, a different provider, it would require multiple contracts with individual municipalities, and it just adds expense to the overall endeavor. There are a lot of models out there that exist for the provision of EMS, as we know, addressing the challenges just mentioned in different ways with varying degrees of success. After careful consideration, we determined that enhancement of our current system was the most practical, cost-effective, and sustainable option. System enhancement has many benefits and allows us to address these challenges immediately. We came up with 5 primary focal points for our sustainability platform, and all of which are equally weighted: a financial component, oversight, coordination, education, and of course, accountability. The practical benefits of enhancement of the existing infrastructure versus replacement. And this is where the meat of this plan came together. We can control the span of administrative and supervisory control because we already have managers in each of the individual agencies that we're talking about supporting. Practitioners employed by these agencies maintain their current employment status. Nobody loses their job as a result of entering into this program with the county. Pre-existing relationships between emergency services and sister agencies are preserved and honored. We have a very robust mutual aid system here. Many of the EMS, police, and fire agencies work together, and it would be the same people post this that are in these positions. The municipalities and agencies also have unique historical relationships, and all of them will be not only preserved, but also enhanced, because there's more communication now between the county, the municipalities, and the actual agencies themselves. Institutional knowledge is very important with the provision of EMS, and it's because the oldest practitioners that are out there bring up the younger ones, they show them everything, you know, teach them where, you know, different things that are important for you to know when you're responding to EMS calls. The material infrastructure, the buildings, vehicles, durable equipment, none of that changes. There might be more vehicles purchased as a result of the allocation that's going out to cover these areas, but it all remains. And the technological infrastructure, the communications, medical documentation, billing, and all of those policies and procedures also survive this transition. They just get enhanced by the process. We start to collaborate and bring them all under one umbrella, and then we standardize the provision of EMS throughout the county. We created a philosophical foundation regarding the allocation of the expense. The financial assets for the provision of EMS in Ulster County are generated locally. They're going to be allocated locally, and the usage will be determined locally exclusively to provide for the health and safety of our residents. All of this money that, you know, know, is being allocated is going to go directly into EMS and improving and enhancing the system. The funding will be allocated directly to the entity who has accepted this and subsequently bears the responsibility for the provision of patient care. In many instances, this is the agency having jurisdiction or the actual agencies, EMS agencies themselves. And in others, it's the municipality providing the service under contract. And there are a few of them that are peppered out throughout the county. And that's where the money's going to go because they've already paid for EMS. Ensuring equitable allocations throughout the county. This was difficult, you know, to make sure that everybody's interests were appropriately represented. They were formulated with assessed value, population, and call volume within a given community, each accounting for a third of the total amount of the allocation to a given municipality or agency. The disbursements will be made according to the schedule that's outlined in the plan itself across four designated categories, which is right there in the plan. Each disbursement will require a review of its intended use, and additional disbursements will also require an evaluation of how previous funds were used. And this is a very important foundational piece to this plan. The money goes out, it's all accounted for, and there's subject matter experts that are employed by the county who are guiding these different agencies through how to best use their funds, not only in their local municipality, but to become part of the larger collaborative effort of the county. Breaking them out, $2 million is being appropriated in support of existing EMS jurisdictions and communities. This primarily allows for the enhancement of basic life support services throughout the county through staffing initiatives, wage increases, as well as recruitment strategies we can achieve stabilization of the system overall. $2.7 million is being appropriated to contract with existing ALS anchor agencies utilizing the county's ambulance service operating certificate for the provision of ALS in historically underserved communities throughout the county. And this appropriation serves to underwrite the additional expenses these agencies will incur through an increased call volume and operational territory. What we are proposing, because with a municipal CON, we can enter into contracts with these ALS agencies. We will take their currently existing territorial boundaries that they provide service in, and we're increasing them. We've accounted for all of the additional calls that they're going to be doing, and it's reflected in the allocation that each of those agencies will receive as a result of this funding. The conditions of the allocation, no county allocated funding for the provision of EMS will be dispersed without the active involvement of all involved parties with a financial, operational, or oversight interest. All we are simply saying is as this money goes out, there will be a plan in place for how it's spent. And then when they're spending money and there's another disbursement that's coming, we'll have a thorough review of how that money was spent, the efficacy of its use, and then additional money on based on a plan for future disbursement. Monies allocated will be utilized strictly for the enhancement of existing services, the sustainability of operational integrity moving forward, and the progressive integration of all EMS services into an overlapping, mutually supportive safety net, addressing the needs of every resident and visitor to our county. What we envision here, this is not a static plan, it's a dynamic plan. As we increase the collaborative efforts of all of these agencies, we'll start to regionalize our approach to the provision of EMS. So there will no longer be 30, 45 minutes to an hour waiting for an ambulance because we have the mutual aid effect, you know, going into effect, and it's coming in to provide prompter service. The utilization is fairly straightforward, improving staffing through recruitment and retention, exploration and development of paid staffing platforms. That will probably be the single biggest allocation. Addressing comparative wage disparities. We want to try to stabilize what people are being paid throughout the county to provide EMS. Improving response times, off-the-floor times, payments for services rendered, such as ALS Mutual Aid, financial education and development initiatives with a concentration on billing. We want to make them more sophisticated and fiscally aware of how the EMS industry, you know, aside from a volunteer perspective, operates. Housing and station expenses, capital equipment, and patient transport vehicles or fly cars that enhance CMS response, so they're not administrative. It's not for, you know, the president of an organization to have a ride to go home. It's for the provision of care. It is important for us at a point in this to break out the differences that are embedded in this between advanced life support and BLS. And it's necessary as the ALS providers have increased New York State operational requirements, so they incur a heavier cost. They also have higher wage and equipment expenditures and a very robust amount of administrative oversight because of the regulations that are placed on them. They will be asked to expand their operational territory under contract with the county to assist with gap coverage and will comprise the foundation of the safety net that's going to be incorporated into the overall plan. And the ALS agencies were chosen for this role as the level of care that they provide can address any patient needs in a pre-hospital setting. What we don't want to do is increase the response area of a BLS agency and have BLS agencies responding to calls that require a higher level of care. We want to get the right resource in the right place at the right time, right out of the chute. Anchor agencies and expanded coverage areas, they're established life support, as we mentioned, agencies in Ulster County with a monthly response rate of 95% or higher in their primary response jurisdiction. These agencies will serve as a critical response hub, providing coverage to municipalities lacking sufficient ALS sources via contractual arrangements through the county. Designated anchor agencies, extended coverage areas, will consist of geographically connected municipalities where anchor agencies are strategically positioned to provide response. Those areas were based or determined based on proximity, response efficiency into their expanded area, and system needs, ensuring essential coverage in regions that are currently facing these service gaps, delayed response times, or system strain. So basically what we're saying is they're just going to be asked to go into their neighbors' communities, provide this service, whether it's ALS or it might be BLS sometimes, depending on the nature of the call, if somebody else can't respond. The funding allocation designed for the anchor agencies, the cost of readiness funding is 50% of the allocation that's up front. And the reason why is because a lot of these anchor agencies are going to be asked, you know, to respond to more calls. They might need to purchase equipment, such as a heart monitor, another ambulance. They might have to increase their staffing level in order to meet the demand that's being placed on them. It was calculated using a weighted percentage of call volume, and funding is distributed in proportion to each agency's service burden. The resulting weighted percentage is then applied to the available $2.7 million in funding, allowing for an equitable allocation of financial resources. Some of them have call volumes, City of Kingston, that just dwarf, you know, the call volumes in other places, and we're asking them to do even more, so that funding will be appropriate to what it is that we're asking them to do. Coordination enhancement is a very important portion of this. Initial coordination of BLS and ALS agencies will be in accordance with the expanded coverage areas and will immediately address the gap coverage issues. Post-response stabilization, system status management principles will be introduced and closest appropriate unit will be phased in and asset relocations will be possible. This is probably 6 to 12 months out, but we'll stabilize the initial thing first. We'll start to build off of that, and as we come better building off of that, we'll start to do further enhancements to the system. Utilizing those concepts will reduce overall response times and ensure that every agency has a reliable backup in their home response areas. And as I said, it's dynamic and will become more and more comprehensive with each enhancement. We also are entering into a phase of education in EMS in the county that's concurrent to this. This plan cannot survive without us growing our own. We simply have to train our own EMTs, train our own paramedics, get them up to the level to where we're constantly providing staff. We're now a training site for the American Heart Association, providing heart saver first aid, CPR and AED training, as well as advanced cardiac life support. The course sponsorship status, we're working through that right now. It's pending, and we'll begin teaching EMT classes in collaboration with Ulster County Community College, and eventually probably proceed up to paramedic level training. We can recruit, train, recertify, and employ our own workforce as a result. There are some documents it is that are attached to this, our report that was generated right here, and then stuff throughout the state. How did I do time-wise?
2.5 minutes old.
Oh, wow. Sorry, Everett.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, you packed a lot into that.
I open the floor.
Yeah. Any questions?
As technology, policy, and procedure changes, is there something built in that would allow staff, the senior staff, to go get training or additional training and teach the young ones like you said you do?
Within the individual agencies? Of course. That's one of the things about this type of a plan, is that we're using the existing infrastructure that it is that they already have, and many of them already allocate funding for additional training. This will just support it.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I really like the slide about it's local money and it's going to local companies and local employees. Is the industry mostly for-profit or non-profit? And is there a trend in multinationals gobbling up some of these companies?
Yes. The short answer is yes. The issue with commercial EMS right now, and one of the reasons, and we took a very hard look at it, we are not, repeat, not excluding any commercial service from trying to provide service within the county. That's not the intent of this. The intent of this is to take the people who have stood up within the county and to help them move forward. If you want to see a result of ignoring them, read the Times, the Albany Times Union, and see what's going on in Greene County right now. You know, it's a disaster. This is literally supporting people that have supported us, giving them the correct oversight operationally, administratively, and financially in order to better themselves and to work collaboratively with each other. The commercial services are suffering right now because of that. They have a lot of issues that are going on. There's shareholders involved and all of that. We wanted to eliminate all of that and make our decisions on EMS right here in the county.
Thank you. Congratulations on the plan.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. You went, Mr. Miller, you went over in detail about the $2.7 mm-hmm. million, but you didn't go over, at least touch upon in depth, what is going to the local fire mm-hmm. departments with the $2 million. You care to elaborate some on that?
Yeah, it's not just fire departments, it's EMS agencies, you know, et cetera. And the allocation was determined in the same way by a combination of call volume, assist value, and population within these communities. We come up with a number because obviously some units are a lot more active than others. When you get out to some reaches in the county, their call volume dwindles off to the like 50, you know, a year, whereas some of the other ones are quite active. So we're trying to, you know, in an effort to fund them appropriately to continue what it is that they're doing, that's how we decided it. And then we just went through and applied that formula to how that money was actually being dispersed to them. And it's very much in the same way. You know, there's an allocation up front, and then there's what we call incentivized funding throughout the remainder of it in three more equal payments about every quarter, you know, to keep them rolling and going through. The main thing about the BLS corps, though, is there will probably be a lot more educational part involved with them. The ALS agencies tend to be a little more sophisticated because a lot of the paramedics that work there also work for commercial providers in managerial positions. So they bring that kind of level of expertise back to them They're used to dealing with the regulations and things of that and handling their money. So it's pretty much the same way that the funding is being allocated. It's just with, I would say, with a commensurate amount of oversight at the beginning.
I've seen that. I do have some follow-ups, but I've seen that Director Everett wants to weigh in. So,
yeah, thank you, Legislator Roberts. I just wanted to follow up. And so the disbursement of the $2 million is based off of that one-third allocation across call volume, assessed value, and what was the third, Rich? Population. And then with that, we're working with the agencies. So, you know, we talked about responding to 95%+ of the calls, but that's the ultimate, that's the end goal, is to get there. If you look at the plan, the call volume is actually, the response rate is actually lower, because we did not want to exclude so many agencies right off the bat, right out the door. We wanted to work with them and work with them to set them up for success, give them what they need in order to reach 95% response rates.
Thank you. I can't speak on behalf of any other towns, but I have been in contact with the three districts in Plattekill, and Legislator Hansen and Clinton have joined me in a couple of meetings, and I did send out the paperwork that I received last night to the three departments, and they looked it over, and I haven't even got a chance to, you know, they made some comments and highlighted them, and I haven't even got a chance to read it over, their comments on your plan. But I do have a couple of questions. One is, obviously, Plattekill is being penalized because part of our district's in the town of Newburgh. You know, I don't know if that's fair or not. And also, I see that you're funding Clintondale to the extent that Mobile Life picks up the Clintondale district and town of Lloyd, and Clintondale is getting nothing for its coverage in Plattekill.
So that's actually not how it's completely laid out. So you have within the town of Plattekill, you have the Plattekill Fire District, the Modena Fire District, and the Clintondale Fire District. The Plattekill Fire District and the Modena Fire District are the only two fire departments that provide transporting capabilities to those residents within those districts. The Clintondale Fire District does not provide an ambulance to those residents. So currently in the Clintondale Fire District, there is no EMS response. We call the commercial agencies that have a county municipal CON to provide that coverage, and they've been responding there at no cost. They have no contract, and they've been providing the service free of charge, where the other two districts are taxing the residents in their response areas for the response. So the allocation would not go to the Clintondale Fire District, because the Clintondale Fire District is not a transporting agency. This is going to transporting agencies. So we would work with an agency to provide the service to the residents of the Clintondale Fire District. And we also do have a meeting set up. The Modena Fire District reached out to us a few weeks ago, and we're going to be meeting with the Board of Fire Commissioners to discuss EMS in the Modena Fire District. And then lastly, I would say that the chief and assistant chief of the Plattekill Fire District, and you know, Deputy Director Miller can elaborate on this, and so can Assistant Coordinator Michael Beninati. They both spoke with, respectively, the assistant chief and the fire chief today regarding the plans to answer any of their questions that they had.
Okay, getting back to Clintondale, even though they're not a transport, Plattekill and Modena do enter there a lot. And also, I just spoke to the chief of Clintondale, and they may not be a transport, but they're usually the first ones on the scene providing comfort and immediate aid when what they're capable of doing.
So I understand what you're saying. And what I would say is that we have numerous fire departments that are dispatched along with EMS agencies for EMS care. No department, unless it's a transporting agency, is receiving funding. Again, this funding is for transporting agencies. That's what this was built around. That's what both resolutions were really built around. And that's where we have agreed upon as we move it, as we move this forward. This is specifically for EMS agencies that are transporting.
Do you have a date when you're meeting with the commissioners in Modena?
I just talked to Doug Foster.
No, that's Potter Hill. So the what's the next committee? They have one. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but they hold one meeting a month. It's at their meeting we're going.
In May?
Yes.
The 21st.
And how'd the conversation with Platico go?
It went very well. Doug comes from a commercial background. He understands what we're talking about. They were concerned because they have agreements with Ambulance and to a lesser extent the town of Newburgh to provide ALS mutual aid into Platico. And that won't be affected, you know, as we're moving forward and starting to roll out the plan. They are looking at some staffing possibilities for them. They want to talk about that, you know, at length and how it is that it's going to go with them. I would say that it was a very productive conversation. And I know Michael had a conversation with the chief, you know, up at the SEMSCO meeting today.
It's Modena is the 19th.
Okay, no, it was that week. It's Monday.
Monday or
Monday, right?
Monday the 19th.
Thank you all.
Any other questions? Thank you.
You're welcome. And just so you guys know, everybody in the EMS community in this county thinks you guys are heroes. So good job.
Okay, we're going to get into resolutions now, and we're going to start with resolution 102, adopting the Ulster County EMS Stabilization and Enhanced Plan and amending the 2025 Ulster County budget to support and enhance the provisions of Emergency Medical Services, EMS, Ulster County Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management. So I'm looking to get a motion to amend Resolution 102 as presented.
I'll make the motion to amend as presented, Resolution 102.
I'll second.
Second. Any discussions on the amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendments?
Aye.
All those in favor of the amendments?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so, and now a motion to adopt the resolution 102 as amended. Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to speak briefly on this. I want to thank Director Erickson and his staff and the executive's office. This plan did not emerge overnight. The product of many meetings, negotiations, and careful listening to our municipal partners, EMS agencies. I think this is a balance between fiscal responsibility and public safety, and I think this plan gets it right. And I look forward to its implementation over the next year or two. Thank you.
Legislator Walz.
Just wanted to echo those comments. It's very encouraging and refreshing to see these parties come together and hammer out these details for the betterment of the county residents.
Legislator Hewitt.
I'd like to thank Legislator Kovacs for his determination and also insight to this issue. And I think if the legislature gets credit for this, it's because of Legislator Kovacs' determination and your ability to show up, compromise, and make progress. Thank you.
Any other discussion or questions?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. As we spoke on the phone, I did have a lot of questions and concerns. They were answered very thoroughly. Pretty much satisfied, definitely will support this and thank everybody involved in the process. I know my town and my department is going to have a lot of questions, concerns, and follow-up, but I think that can either be worked out or it can't be, you know, but, you know, we are moving in the right direction.
Legislator Hewitt.
And also thank you, Director Erickson, and the executive team for all your hard work.
Thank you.
Legislator Levine.
Thank you. Just a point of clarification on the chart provided at the end of the plan before we vote on it. I just wanted to, I'm trying to figure out the color table on this. Is this just the red municipalities? Are those just anchor agency municipalities that are indicated in red versus the blue?
The red are ALS areas, so they receive advanced life support.
Okay.
And the blue are basic life support.
Thank you for the clarification.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution as amended.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 156, I'm going to refer to Deputy Executive and Chief of Staff, Capuano.
Thank you. So we would request a withdrawal of this resolution through the sponsor.
I am good with withdrawing my sponsorship.
I am okay with withdrawing. Thank you.
As am I. All right. So resolution 156 is withdrawn. We're going to move to resolution 232, approving the execution of a contract for $50,000 plus rates entered into by the county, New Paltz Rescue Squad, Inc., Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management, Director Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This contract is specifically written for the MOU that was passed last month with the town of Gardner. The $50,000 is what the town of Gardner budgeted for last year going into 2025. It's a pass-through through the county to New Paltz Rescue, and then we will be billing the patients, and that funding will then be passed through to New Paltz Rescue as well.
Discussion or questions?
Transit. One more thing. This is a path that, you know, we're going to see moving forward. Already discussions and wishes to move forward with this route is the town of Lloyd. They currently contract with New Paltz Rescue. So, you know, we're going to see this pathway as we move forward. Gardner is already looking at 26 as well. The amount's going to be different, but this is how we're going to be moving forward.
Thank you. Any discussion or questions? Okay, can I get a motion to adopt the resolution?
I'll make a motion on behalf of all the residents in Gardner.
Legislator Clinton, and a second by Legislator McClellan. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 233, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the counties of Orange, Rockland, and Sullivan for the purpose of the Regional Hazmat Partnership for Hazmat Equipment, Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management, Director Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a yearly contract. We are part of a consortium with Orange, Rockland, Sullivan, and there's $34,966 that goes towards hazmat equipment. We have a MOU with the City of Kingston Fire Department for hazmat response throughout the county, and this equipment will go directly to them.
And just note that these are funds from 2021, because the next resolution will look very similar.
Yes.
Any discussion or questions? Okay, a motion to adopt the resolution. Legislator McClellan, second. Legislator Levine, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And Resolution 234, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the counties of Orange, Rockland, and Sullivan for the purposes of the Regional Hazmat Partnership for Hazmat Equipment, Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management. Director Erickson.
Yes, so this is for the FY 2022. New York State is very behind when it comes to this specific grant. So same thing, and this is for a total of $59,000.
Okay, discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution?
I'll make the motion.
Hewitt, second. Clinton, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carried. Resolution 235, amending the 2025 budget, executing agreement with the National Association of County and City Health Officials for the 2024 Operational Readiness Award, Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management. Director Erickson.
Yes, so this right here is a $10,000 grant that we're receiving from that association. It goes specifically to the Medical Reserve Corps that's managed through our department in conjunction with the Department of Health.
Discussion or questions?
Motion to adopt the resolution.
By Levine, second. McCullen, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Please note that Legislator Hewitt is out of the room. Resolution 236, approving the execution of a contract for $172,000, entered into by the county, FR6 LLC, Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management. Director Erickson.
So this is for the Ulster Threat Assessment Coalition that was formed a few years ago under the county executive at the time, Pat Ryan. New York State Department of Homeland Security required that every county establish a threat assessment plan through the Department of through the Emergency Management, which that division falls under the Department of Emergency Services. The plan was created and put forward and adopted. We receive an anti-terrorism grant that can be used towards training and education. And the plan needs to be updated every 3 years. We're working with the Sheriff's Office and the School Safety Board to provide training and coordination to the school district when it comes to threat assessment. We have a very comprehensive threat assessment team that is comprised of a representative from the Sheriff's Office, a representative from my department, a representative from school districts, and so on. That's what this contract is for.
Thank you. Discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution. Legislator Clinton, second. McCullen, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution number 237. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for $8,150, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county, New York's Communications Company, Inc., Ulster County District Attorney.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, Greg, would it be possible, just want to make sure Legislator Hewitt has the opportunity to record his vote on 234 and 235.
Yes, I was going to do that, but go ahead.
Thank you. I'm a yes on both.
So, you're welcome. Thank you, Legislator Levine. Deputy Executive Capuano, do you want to speak on this at all?
Yeah, I'm going to just pull up the contract abstract on this one. This is one of their communication contracts.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what.
It says to amend list of radio communications and trunk equipment being leased for the term January 1st, 2021 to April 30th, 26.
I believe this is a lease that they've had prior. They had it since 2021. I believe this is some of the recording equipment and radio equipment that they're installing in vehicles.
Okay. Discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution. Legislator Clinton, second.
Second.
Veen, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 238, approving the execution of a contract for $64,000 entered into by the County Ulster Literacy Associations, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff, Sheriff Figueroa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is for the literacy of those that are in our facility for GED examinations and, of course, of math and reading classes.
Any discussion or questions?
I'll make the motion to adopt.
Oh, you guys just had a graduation, didn't you?
Yes, that's part of the Ignite program. But we have been contracting with Ulster Literacy for at least 5 years.
Okay, thank you.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carried. Resolution 239, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $74,730 entered into by the County Tyler Technologies, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff, Sheriff Figueroa.
So this is actually from Information Services, and I'm going to turn it over to the director.
Thank you. We have a joint public safety system, very large comprehensive system that shared with the sheriff. This is specifically for fire records management, moving into a cloud system, also needing to meet the new standards for fire reporting. The National Fire Incident Reporting is now changed and no longer being supported, and it's now called NEARS. So that's what this is for.
Legislator Hewitt.
Once it's on the cloud, is there a backup for the data?
Yes.
Any other questions or discussion? Okay, motion to adopt the resolution. McCullen, second. Levine, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 240, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $201,764.82 entered into by the County Axon Enterprise, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Figueroa.
Madam Chair, this is for an additional five patrol body worn cameras.
Legislator Hewitt.
Did you say five?
Five.
I thought it said 48 in here. Is that the dots? And six docks.
I'll have to double check, but that's the notes that I have.
Okay,
any other questions? Legislator Hewitt.
As you mostly know, that I'm usually a no on Axon votes, and the next three resolutions are for Axon, which equals $1.4 million. And in the past, I've talked about why I'm a no, and typically it's because of the grenade technology that Axon creates. So I started researching which weapons they make, and now I understand more why I'm a no. These two resolutions are important to have body cameras, but we're also supporting a company that's making weaponry. And so the monopolization of corporate America has made it so it's hard for us to keep our money separate from war technology when we're trying to just buy cameras. So I looked up, they have not only a $2.08 billion annual gross revenue, they have a $47 billion market capitalization, which means between all of the stocks that they're selling on a daily basis, there's $46 billion in Axon every day. And so contracts like this make it a great investment. Look how we're giving them $1.4 million. And the third resolution is for tasers or taser technology, which I'm conflicted because I'm also a no because I've been studying nonviolence since my senior year in high school. When my high school had fights every weekend, we'd go out and find fights, and it was very bloody. I got so sick of it, I became a medic, and I would help my bloody friends get out of those fights. So I discovered Gandhi in college and started reading everything about nonviolence, and I'm conflicted because Axon is actually supposed to be a non-lethal weapon technology. And they have a variety of non-lethal technologies. I'm supportive of those. So it's hard for me to make a protest no when there's cameras and weaponry involved. And I'm going to be a protest no until maybe the Congress can address the monopoly and start to say, why do we have so many monopolies in this country consolidating our money? So once we can start breaking up these monopolies, I'll start being a yes. Thank you.
Senator Figueroa?
And thank you, Legislature. I understand your understanding, but remember, this was as a result of reimagining police and transparency when it comes to law enforcement. I can't express the importance of the transparency when law enforcement deals with our communities, in particular our communities of color.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Any other discussion or questions? Okay, can I get a motion to adopt the resolution? Clinton? Second? Walls? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
So, Greg.
You got that? Okay. Resolution 241, approving the execution of a contract for $572,622.20 entered into by the county, Axon Enterprises, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff. Sheriff Figueroa?
Are we on 241, ma'am?
Yes.
Yeah, these are the in-car cameras, and this is offset by a law enforcement tech grant.
Okay, discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution? Clinton, second?
Second.
Levine, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 242, approving the execution of a contract for $588,401.88 entered into by the County Axon Enterprises, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff. Sheriff Figueroa.
And the legislator said earlier this is for the taser system, which is a less lethal way of dealing with issues.
Discussion or questions? Legislator Levine.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question to the sheriff in regards to, you know, obviously, you know, the feelings of a few members of the legislature have been made aware to the sheriff's department over the last few months and you know, even prior to that. Is it the policy of the sheriff's office that you are, having been made aware of the concerns of some of the members of the legislature, is the sheriff's office, you know, actively always looking for alternatives if they are feasible to contracting with Axon and Taser, if there's a product that is of you know, similar or better quality, would you be willing to look into doing business with them?
So we've had this discussion in the past, and we had Panasonic cameras that were not up to speed in particular to what was needed at the time when we were reimagining police. This particular company and this particular tasers are the best in the market. And that's why we looked at it. That's why we tested it. And that's why we requested it.
But your department is always keeping their eye open for, you know, what's going on in the market.
Huh? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mr. Hewitt.
Thank you, Sheriff. I was looking that because of the Taser patents, they have a near monopoly in the industry. But with the body cameras, Motorola is a close second. I remember we were using Panasonic. I like that Motorola took a pledge against landmines around the world and their involvement in landmines. So I appreciate you, Legislator Levine, for bringing up that. We just have to pay attention to companies as they evolve.
But just so everyone knows that Axon, it's the City of Kingston Police Department has that, so does the New York State Police. Every time a taser or a weapon gets removed from the holster, the cameras go on. A lot of the other companies don't have that capability. And after what happened with George Floyd and the push for transparency in law enforcement, this is why we got the best equipment that was available.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. Resolution number 243, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with the Town of Warsing for a substation of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. Deputy Executive Capuano, you want to speak on this?
Sure, I'll start and then I'll kick it over to the sheriff. This is a lease agreement that we have down in Town of Warsing. It's on the airport property. The sheriff has had a long-term lease at this location. I kick off to the sheriff for any further details on it.
It's our zone headquarters for that part of the county.
Okay. Discussion or questions? Legislator Hewitt.
Why is it so affordable?
That was an agreement that was done before me, and throughout we've had agreements with a lot of folks that want law enforcement in the community, and that's probably why.
Yeah, and I can add on to that. When, you know, originally kind of brought about, there is the need to have more of a force down in that section of the county, and again, having additional police in that neck of the woods, in that area, really helps in terms of response times. So it reduces your response times to areas down there if needed.
Any other discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution. McClellan, second. Clinton, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 244, amending the 2025 Ulster County budget to provide funding for enhanced security protocols, Ulster County Sheriff. Sheriff Figueroa, can you tell us about this, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We are all aware of what happened here recently. The Sheriff's Office has always done a security assessment for this county office building as well as the other buildings that we're responsible for. And it was time after this last incident to take a different approach. And so I've been in contact with the county exec's office and members of the legislature to develop something less intrusive and something that will meet our security needs for the future in this building. I do have a two-minute clip, and I don't know if we can see it, but I think it's important that folks take a look at it. We will have a pilot program that we're going to put in place here on the next legislative meeting on the 20th. So when you come into the building, you can see what exactly we're looking to do here. And if I don't know if we can do that.
Okay. Sheriff, can you come up to the laptop?
And just to add on while he's pulling that up, the sheriff was already undergoing an assessment of this building throughout the process. So as that assessment was ongoing, the timing, you know, based on when that assessment came back to us, was also part of the conversation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other discussion or questions while they're bringing
up? At Evolve, we believe that safety. A basic human right. Unfortunately, at Evolve, we believe that safety is a basic human right. Unfortunately, threats continue to advance, creating a pressing need to keep venues and public spaces safe. Yet, using disconnected metal detectors requires the use of handguns, proven to be high risk and often form long lines, thus creating additional soft targets and frustrations. Evolve was founded on a vision to develop products to help prevent catastrophic events from happening. We listened, innovated, experimented, and delivered an AI-based platform balancing improved security with a better experience. Better experiences for visitors and employees entering, enhanced security operations, and higher venue profits. Schools, stadiums and arenas, hospitals, workplaces, cities, iconic tourist attractions, entertainment venues, museums and aquariums, amusement parks, houses of worship, and casinos. Inside, outside, rain, sleet, or snow, all benefit from these new innovations, offering AI threat detection, targeted search, advanced analytics and reporting, branding, and a connection to your security fabric. We've screened more than 1 billion people, and today we now screen an average of 2.5 million visitors per day. And our customers report detecting an average of 1,000 threats per day. We are helping to make safer experiences for everyone, transforming the way people move through life. We are Evolve.
So what's important about this particular piece of equipment is that if you have a pacemaker, you can come through and it's based off of sound waves and it's not a metal detector. And the pilot program is going to be May 20th, which is going to be the next vote. But I think this is a huge improvement in the security of this building. And so I wish that you look at please research it before then. And if you have any questions, by all means, let me know. Thank you.
Legislator Walz.
I think additional equipment is great. And I'm not second guessing anything that the sheriff's office does, you know, as far as I'm concerned, two thumbs up. I do have a concern and have had for quite some time being employed in this building prior to being in the legislature that oftentimes there's security personnel who are great people. They're doing their job, but they're not armed. And this day and age when we, you know, have school resource officers in most schools across the country and in facilities like the county building, I think an adjustment to, and I know it's just, you know, personnel, it's hard to get personnel these days, but to be able to change those security officers from unarmed to armed, I think sends a message visibly to anybody that's looking to come in here with a weapon, whatever that weapon may be. And it also keeps those people from becoming the victims, because if a deranged individual comes in here with a weapon to do harm, they're wearing a sheriff's office uniform, and they'll probably be the first to receive the brunt of whatever that deranged individual is going to do. So again, I'm not second guessing anything, but I do think that that kind of a minor adjustment and being able to change those personnel. I know in legislative sessions there are deputies here, but oftentimes at committee meetings and at other times there's just the security officers who are unarmed. Thank you.
I would love to add more deputies. When you arm security guards, there's a whole different liability and training that's required. So if we are going to ask for more armed folks, I prefer them to be deputies.
Legislator McCollum, did you want to add something?
One time I came into the building, I was under the impression that two officers at the desk, one was carrying and one was not.
Usually there is an armed deputy, but not always. Okay. And so that is something that I'm willing to look at, legislator.
Legislator Walz.
That would be great. I think oftentimes young folks that are pursuing careers in law enforcement would kind of shy away from, you know, wanting to be assigned to a building. They're actually, you know, more interested in being out on the road and doing police work. So that would be great, but I think it's especially nowadays where there seems to be openings in most departments throughout the county. And I'm not familiar with the criteria that you've mentioned, Sheriff, but I do know, I don't know if it's still existing, but I do know 20 plus years ago, the Suffolk County Police Department created a position within their agency that was a security officer, but the individuals were armed. So again, I think I don't want to be redundant, but thank you, Sheriff.
Any other Legislator Roberts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, these new machines and new technology that we're looking at, they take the place of a magnetometer. They're the same function, but they use sound waves instead of a whatever magnetometer. Are they going to be operational all the time or just when during session and committee meetings?
As far as I'm concerned, they're going to be operational all the time, but more emphasis on legislative meetings. There'll be searches at the legislative meetings. I would love for to do it to everyone that comes into the building. However, the occupants of the building, the county executive, ultimately they make that decision, not me.
Thank you, Sheriff. And I agree it should be used all the time. You know, it seems like we're a bunch of elites on the sixth floor protecting ourselves. My concern is the employees on the fifth, the sixth, the second, third, whatever, the people that come into this building to use it on a daily basis, even the asset itself. I mean, to replace this building if something happened to it would be astronomical. We should look at all avenues. I know we're going to talk about it during the next resolution that Jason put up, but, you know, we need to do more than just protect ourselves.
Legislator Hewitt.
Speaking of the sixth floor and us being unique as legislators, I would recommend suggesting to all the sheriffs that they search us as well. I was at a county building recently, and I went through the search, and then I introduced myself, and the officer said, "You should have told me. I don't want special treatment, and I'd rather us all go through." Sometimes there's a legislator who's angry, and they need a metal detector.
I think we had an incident last year involving a legislator that, so I think that's, you know, probably why that was said. I don't disagree with Legislator Roberts. I think this is the beginning of phasing something in that needs to happen here at the county office building.
Legislator McMillan?
I went to City Hall yesterday for their meeting, and the officers told me to go on by. And I stopped. I said, "No, don't treat me any different than anybody else." So I went through the process, and I felt good about that.
Deputy Exec Capuano?
So I just wanted to, again, reiterate the work that the sheriff's team has done here is amazing. This is really a smart solution looking at what we're trying to accomplish within the security with the building. In terms of the youth, this is something that can be operational. The security guards can monitor, and we can also get the analytic data out of the system, which is going to be so helpful for us to be able to make future improvements as we move forward. So we're hopeful that this, when it's installed, we'll start to get it tested out, see how it's flagging, what it's flagging. You know, I just went through this weekend up at a concert. Like, you're going to see these everywhere. You don't even really notice them. And having that ability to get that analytic data out of the system is huge for us.
Legislator Levine.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question, a logistics question to the sheriff in regards to the operation of this Evolve system. This does not utilize any facial recognition or store any of that, you know, data, biometric or anything like that.
It does not.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? And I just want to thank Sheriff and everybody else involved for their prompt response in getting this plan in place so quickly. So can I get a motion to adopt the resolution? Legislator McCollin, a second. Legislator Clinton, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 245, calling for enhanced security measures, including magnetometers and airport-style screening at the Ulster County office building during all hours of public access. Discussion or questions? Legislator Hewitt.
I would like to know, Sheriff, your thoughts on this and if it's necessary based on the last resolution.
I think the last resolution kind of speaks for itself, and I would ask the legislators to review and research the equipment, and it's going to physically be here by the 19th, so you'll have an opportunity to see what it actually does. And like the county deputy county executive stated, the analytics that are involved, remember, this equipment is unique. There are some people that do have pacemakers and do have metal, issues with walking through something like that. This doesn't affect that. So that's why this is important to get the system up and running. Let's take a look at it and make the adjustments that are needed for the security of this building.
And just note that it will be during our committee meetings and our session. So. Legislator Roberts.
Thank you again, Madam Chair, for the last time. As you know, you were part of the meeting that we had in January of 2024, the beginning of our first term. We spoke in depth. The sheriff shared his vision, his previous plans of how he thought this building could be secure. we got past that hurdle. We had no more incidents with mass protesters coming in. So it was kind of put on the back burner, but I believe this resolution that Legislator Kovacs put forward is going to start that conversation so we can move in that direction.
Legislator Hewitt.
My concern on this resolution, and the reason I might be a no, is we don't want to discourage people to come to public meetings. And so if we go too far and it feels like everything is being searched, all bags are going through, we might discourage public participation. If we have a technology like the last resolution, it might make this resolution unnecessary, especially because there's no cost right now, but it's asking the executive to analyze what equipment we'll need, so it might have a future cost. So I think I might be a no on this.
Legislator Walz.
It seems that, you know, perhaps this could be married with 244 in some way, shape, or form. It's I think the motive's the same.
So I would like to make a motion to postpone this resolution. And let's go back and look at it in a couple months and see how what we're doing is working. And also to look at, the sheriff has done, I think, 3 security studies over the last 5 years, and look at that information and then see where we are. So I'm going to make a motion to postpone.
You beat me to it. That was going to be my recommendation. I think that, especially with the fact with what we just saw presented and the analytics that will come from that, and then it'll also give us some time to see what the additional needs are. So I would second that motion to postpone.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution is postponed. And that is it. Can I get old business? New business? Can
I'll
I get
make,
a?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second, Clinton. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Aye.